Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on my do not disturb. I'm ready to go. Oh, let me test my audio. Go!
This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Our pal, Ivan Moody, seemed a little perturbed that his former band members were joining forces for a new project. Trust me, I know how it feels.
Sounds good, right?
Yep.
Sounds good. This is all right? You can hear me over it?
Yes.
Okay. Recording. And we're about to go live in 3, 2.
Go! This is your announcer, Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Our pal, Ivan Moody, seemed a little perturbed that his former band members were joining forces for a new project. Trust me, I know how it feels. I was really upset when I heard Sean and Shlomo were doing a new podcast together. Just kidding. RIP a listener, the Metal Injection Live cast starts now.
Thank you for those kind words. I do believe both Shlomo and Sean, as of this recording, are both alive. And we hope you are alive and with us here on the Metal Injection Live cast.
Which one's the listener?
I guess they sort of both are now, right?
But I do want to mention, as we get going, we've had a few time changes in the last 2 weeks, and I just want to lock it down. Lock it down, folks. Our current live broadcast time, where, you know, if you tune in live, one of the added bonuses, if you're not a patron, is that you get to watch the show for free, live. Otherwise, you have to be a member of our Patreon to watch the show.
Get to look at all this all the time.
So we are live Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And at different parts of the world, that would be a different time as well. So it would be 11 p.m. in London, I think, and 8 a.m. tomorrow in Sydney. So
hello. Time zones. How do they work?
Hello tomorrow.
Sydney's right there. What are you talking
about? You can get
about?
The show inside of Sydney?
In my colon.
Mm-hmm. Sydney, mackerel. Australia.
Oh, it's hard to hear in there.
And
that near Wales?
It's right next door, yes. And I do want to mention also that I mentioned the Patreon. We do have a Patreon. If you want even more live casts, if you want access to all of our video episodes since quarantine began, you can get access to those and a ton of bonus episodes. We just posted a new episode today. And the top of the month bonus is something that I've been wanting to do since we've started doing these watch alongs, which is a watch along of the 1998 documentary, Kurt and Courtney. We had such a great time completely shitting on this documentary. The documentary examines if Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain, and they provide no evidence backing up their theory.
And they behave as if they've provided all the evidence.
Yes. And it's really an incredible watch. And really, if you're an aspiring filmmaker, it's a good watch to see what not to do. And it's so funny because as I was working up the promotional materials for this film, just a quick little teaser, I found that on his official website, because this guy's a pretty prolific documentarian, Nick Broomfield.
It's pretty easy to make a lot of documentaries when you do no research and just pull stuff out of your ass. You just crank them out one after the other.
Yeah, like one of them he did was about Sarah Palin, unauthorized, of course. He did like a bunch on like Nazis, a bunch of weird stuff. But anywho, so on his website, I like how anywho is a transition from talking about Nazis, but anywho, on his website, he has a little comment for like every movie that he did. And so for Kurt and Courtney, he describes it as a really long shoot, lots of druggy motels and bad meals and rain. He said that his editors saved the situation, lots of bad dreams. So it's like he didn't even have a good time making this.
No.
I don't think he was invited to those like drug-ridden hotels. He was probably just standing outside.
Well, it's just the motels where he interviewed those random people that like did heroin once with Kurt Cobain and the only people that would talk to him. So highly recommend the viewing. We do a watch along. So we essentially watch the movie. You can watch the documentary with us and get our real time snark. And we have a whole lot of it. So you can get that on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And I do want to mention that you get access to all of our bonus episodes that we've ever done and all the video versions of the website of the episodes that we've done this year. So now that we got all the plugs out of the way,
Rob, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
Cause you like triggered a memory that I can't believe I recalled right now, and you might get a little bit upset at me bringing it up, but I have a question for you.
Uh-oh.
Was Kurt and Courtney worse than that video that you brought into our film class in college of stuff we were doing at L'Amour outside?
Oh my goodness. I'm glad you brought this up because I recently started thinking about this. I'm not sure if we mentioned this on the show, but the year I started, we started Metal Injection, you know, I was still in college, but I was like 1 foot out the door. I was ready to drop out.
We were both in college with 1 foot out the door.
That's true.
And
we were in the same class too, right?
Yes.
So it was like a TV production, a video
production.
It was
that teacher. We both had the same teacher. Was that like, I think she was like Polish or something. She had long brown hair.
No, that was, I had a Colombian lesbian was my teacher.
Oh, okay. So maybe it was, whatever.
But
it was in the same program.
So our project was we had to make a short, and instead of like actually doing the work, I essentially stole Frank's work and like submitted a Metal Injection clip from like one of our very early episodes, which I'm pretty sure is not even available online because it's so embarrassing. And it's essentially we let our friend at the time walk around this old venue, L'Amour, which we've talked about many times on the show, and just be a belligerent drunk and like talk about like slamming hooas in the bathroom. And I can't believe I showed that in class and thought it was good.
Walked around asking like women, he goes, "Would you suck my dick for like $10 or something like that?"
Yes.
This was
like
during a concert at the venue and you just filmed?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Everyone was drunk.
Yeah. Oh, no, it was like in the, because the venue has like the two stages. So like if there's a band performing in one area, you could be hanging out.
Section.
Yeah, you could be hanging out in a completely different area where it's not loud enough where you could. So big regret.
I don't know why
I would say this is better though.
Okay.
Whose idea was that video? Like,
well, not I wasn't even there because I remember I skipped out on that day of shooting because I was preoccupied doing hard drugs. So
honestly, I wouldn't even call it an idea.
Yeah,
fair.
Being 21 was it wasn't. I don't know.
Like, we have a camera. That's it.
This is way better. So anyway, definitely check this out. really fun watch along that we did, and we think you learned something about Kurt Cobain, maybe, or the people that he did heroin with once,
or that said they did heroin
or
with
that said
once.
That he, yes, that's true,
maybe not.
So at the top of the broadcast today, we had Chuck Blandon mention this Five Finger Death Punch drama, which I don't know, like, it's really funny to me. So, you know, Five Finger Death Punch.
They're good. I like them too.
You like Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah.
But Five Finger Death Punch. So we've talked about how, like, they recently had some lineup changes and their drummer left a while ago. And we mentioned this, I think, 2 weeks ago. He has a new band now called Psychosexual, where he essentially, this is the old drummer of the band is now the front man of this new project. And he dresses up as the literal devil, like here.
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure that's not the the name for his co-OnlyFans with Franz? I heard that I had a hot tip on that.
So here's like a little. It's just essentially Five Finger Death Punch, but like with more of a gimmick. I mean, you already get it.
And you know, you see people, they think that he's like red. He's got a goatee and a ponytail and stuff like that. He doesn't. He's very beautiful.
So you get it. So he has this band. And honestly, the only reason they've been getting any publicity is because he's the old drummer of Five Finger Death Punch. And like, you know, I try not to be too mean with my stories because I realize that it's like, oh, I don't want to insult the fans of this band. Like, I'm providing them with the service of giving them information about the band that they enjoy. So I don't necessarily want to knock the band. But the angle for these stories has been, look at this ridiculous song that the old drummer of Five Finger Death Punch released. Like, there's no other angle for this. And so apparently now he's being really prolific. I guess he needs the streaming money. Jeremy Spencer is the drummer. And recently, about a month ago, it was announced that their longtime guitarist, Jason Hook, is no longer in the band. And there was some controversy because he hasn't been in the band for a few months, but he was not allowed to announce it until the band announced it. Anyway, it was announced.
Oh, who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was, anyway, so long story short, over the weekend, it came out that Jason Hook was now collaborating with Jeremy Spencer on his new band Psychosexual, which to Five Finger Death Punch fan, I would say is kind of interesting news. Hey, these two former members of the golden lineup of Five Finger Death Punch are now working on new music together, right? So I guess a lot of people messaged Ivan Moody, the frontman of Five Finger Death Punch, about this, to the point that he had to record a video message commenting on this. And I wanted to play this message because to put things in perspective, Five Finger Death Punch are essentially the most successful current, like, modern rock act, you know, like of bands that hit the scene in the last 10 years or so. They're the most successful one, like, objectively.
Based on what metric?
Oh, record sales, headlining shows.
Really? They're the most successful? God damn.
I feel like they're like the Godsmack of today or something.
Yeah, that would be very fair to say. And
thank
you. So, and Ivan Moody is the frontman. Ivan Mooney. No, that's a different one.
That's the lead singer of Five Finger Death Punch.
He's in this very successful band. And so, like, if I were him, like, if you were him and you heard that the two guys that you kicked out of your band were working on new music, how would it affect you?
Well, how do you feel about me and Sid starting our own podcast?
Well, hold on. Did I kick you out of this podcast? it'd be like if Sean and Shlomo started a podcast.
And we kick them out?
And but here's how he reacted. And I'm just like, dude, you're...
Whoa.
That's what he looks like?
Is that a video of him taking a punch?
This is a porn parody of John Cena that Rob was watching.
It looks like The Undertaker in Darren's background.
This is actually, you put up the wrong picture. This is Mikey Bibble.
That's who that is.
Also, look at this giant fucking house that he lives in.
Very high ceilings.
Well, I mean, it depends where he lives.
He lives in Vegas.
What does he have? Tourette's? What was that? Woof, woof. I gotta tell you about my day. Woof, woof, woof.
Let me go back. I
can't. Oh, God.
Woof, woof.
Also, got home from watching the Tyson and Jones fight? Like,
yeah, he went to a super spreader event to watch this on a closed circuit.
All right.
Wow, really?
I mean, okay. I mean, that's how little money matters to him.
Yeah.
He's loaded.
What a charismatic frontman this guy is.
Oh, I wish I could hear his stage banter. It must be so compelling.
Oh, whoa. Sorry.
Wait, no, wait. The Apex City Day wasn't watching two old men beat the shit out of each other? I find that hard to believe.
For millions of dollars, though. They're tough for doing that.
I wonder if metal injection was one of them.
Oh, shit.
Wonder if he clicked lamb goat or metal injection first.
Probably. He seems like more of a Loudwire guy.
I found an article from someone named Robert Pazzabini or whatever his name is.
I thought it was a joke. Why would it be a joke that two musicians are working on music together?
So there's these two musicians, all right?
They were in Five Finger Death Punch. Can you believe it?
This guy in the front knows what I'm talking about, right?
Is that like a Wolverine claw? What is that on the corner?
I think it's like light reflecting, but it does look like a Wolverine claw.
It's his dog holding the camera. That's why he woofed before. He was talking.
Did you hear? He did like a subtler woof. Just that he did like a...
Oh, he does that. Maybe he does it. Maybe I shouldn't say that joke. Maybe he really... I'm shaming him for his illness. Woof!
Ruff! Woof!
Something good.
Yeah, I mean, weren't they already doing something together in your fucking band, buddy?
What? I don't understand. Like, are you admitting that you gave them no voice in your band?
He's admitting that they did nothing because they're in that band that he's in control of.
Or is he admitting they were looking forward to not being in a band with him anymore? Like, we really wanted to work together without you being in the room.
Okay.
Well,
he's
finish.
About. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Calvin and Klein.
I love that the top is Dracar Noir. The most basic ass cologne.
I didn't know we were going for members only jacket ads there.
Oh boy!
Look at
I didn't know
tattoo.
We were going for Axe body spray and Ed Hardy ads.
What? Also, Rob, why did you write that in your article about the sex appeal? You hurt his feelings. Come on, Rob.
Woohoo! Wow! Look at how intense he is right now. Like he's challenging them. Oh,
challenging.
Before I was going to make it suck.
Before I was going to half-ass it, but now that I hear you guys are working together.
I'm going to put extra grunts and woofs and pro-Trump imagery in my video now. It's going to fucking rule. Woof, woof, woof. So hyped.
Sounds like he's like threatening him. Also, he's sober or should be sober. I hope he's sober because, geez.
Listen, guys, you know, a little friendly competition, meow, never really hurt anybody. Meow.
Can I just point out one little thing that he did at the end? He's wearing his hat backwards and he tips the bill of his cap, which isn't there. Like right at the
Is
end.
That what that was?
What the fuck are you doing?
Wait, he did?
Yes. Here it comes. So the other side, dipshit.
I would have done the video all over again.
Yeah,
it's only 2 minutes. Maybe all those woofs took a lot out of them.
Ivan Moody, if you're listening, give us a call, 213-WIDENOT, 213-943-3688. Do you get the sense that he's, like, taking this personally for some reason? Like, why? Like, who cares?
Oh, do you think? I mean, Jesus Christ. It looks like he wants to cry almost.
It's like, why get offended the dudes you kicked out of your band?
Well, did they leave on their own? Didn't one of them leave to, like, be a firefighter or some shit? Or, like, an EMT?
Well, the drummer, he left, I think, because he couldn't tour anymore.
Okay.
So he just couldn't be in the band.
Can't tour anymore.
Yeah, but it seems like with the guitarist, it's unclear why he left, he left or was kicked out, or I don't know what it was. It could have been a financial thing where he might have wanted royalties and they didn't want it. Who knows?
I mean, it just seems like he has a little bit of an anger issue.
Yes, 100%.
In terms of how he reacts.
I think he's insecure because he knows that his shit isn't that good. So if they go out and do a good album.
I don't know if you heard that, but now he's going to make it good. Now it's like challenge accepted.
Right. I forgot.
So
he probably doesn't want to have to see them, you know, covered on Metal Injection and all of that more than him.
Yeah, like, is he subscribed to Metal Injection's newsfeed? I mean, I know that the bassist actively follows us, Chris Cale.
What about Zoltan?
Zoltan, he might have us blocked. We might have said something meaningful.
How annoyed is Zoltan, though, now? Like, he didn't agree to make a good album. Now, all of a sudden, this Ivan Moody's writing checks that these other guys have to cash.
He's putting it out there.
Like, I thought we were just going to make another album that sounds like us. What the fuck? Now we have to try?
Have to do music?
Russ.
I thought we were just going to suck the soul out of other existing songs that we cover.
Maybe they'll just do covers of Psychosexual songs. Take that.
All right,
oh,
guys.
Shit.
I got it. All right, we're going to do Psychosexual, but just change everything to Bad Company and just do that again.
Bad Company. Pretty odd. Well, we're talking about all this music that might not be good. One band that always delivers are German thrash metal legends, Sodom. Sodom released their new single and video for the song Friendly Fire this past weekend, and the track is taken from the band's upcoming studio album, Genesis 19. That's Genesis XIX. And you can check out the video Friendly Fire out now via E1 Entertainment One in North America and Steamhammer SPV in Europe. Love me some good thrash from Sodom.
I got a little hot tip on the name of the new Five Finger Death Punch album. Here it is.
All Elite Scooby-Doo.
Good, I like it.
Yeah.
Different.
Well, speaking of the Undertaker cameo, you know, first
people
of all,
love that bit.
I just want to say What a great one. I think we should play the full All Elite Scooby-Doo one, right? Like,
yeah, he starts laughing. That's we didn't get to that. He said All Elite Scooby-Doo. And then we just stopped because we started cracking up.
Yeah.
But if you go like 10 seconds more into it, he starts cracking up also. And they just left it in. Like, he didn't do it over.
Well, he's got 29 more of these to do. And here's... They had added music for some reason on this YouTube video.
Yeah. This is not in the cameo.
Oh, boy.
I like how he took it into a laugh, like an evil laugh. It's
like
you know what that reminds me of? Like when you're walking down the street and you trip and you take it into a little jog.
Yeah, it's totally that.
That's what that was.
Yeah, I just love it. He's like, wait, you incorporated my rest in peace line to your marriage? Congratulations. That's what he was laughing about.
No, it's his bachelorhood, Rob. He's not going to, that's what's going to rest in peace, but probably his marriage too.
Well,
who's marrying someone in All Elite Scooby Doo?
All Elite Velma?
Are you saying Velma and Scooby Doo hooked up?
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it.
Well, on the topic of cameos, this week, Dream Theater's frontman James LaBrie got some headlines because he's on Cameo. Noah, you're a Dream Theater fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't listened to them in a while. I kind of like their individual projects.
Oh, yeah. Do you listen to James LaBrie's solo stuff?
Yes, but I haven't listened to it in a while.
I want to ask you, Noah, as a Dream Theater expert, and I've, you know, listened to Dream Theater, don't really hate them or anything, but I wouldn't say I'm a big fan. So this is a question for you. Has he always looked like Weird Al Yankovic with a Hitler mustache?
The Hitler mustache is brand new.
I was going to ask if that's new.
Yeah. It is weird.
No, I can't remember her name, but it's like a model from like the 80s.
Cindy Crawford.
No.
Kathy Ireland.
Maybe Kathy Ireland. Okay. I have to see what she looks like.
She sells furniture now.
Yeah.
No.
Well, what did she do?
It was a blonde one.
Kathleen
Cheryl
Turner.
Teagues. Vendela.
Linda Carter.
Kathleen Turner is not a model. She's an actress.
How dare you?
She was like a supermodel from like the 90s.
Well, so what are you getting at?
Is it Iman?
That's who he reminds me of. I don't know. I'll have, like, as soon as it gets to me, which might not be during the show,
you mean old time Dream Theater guy? Like when
you're
he was
James LaBrie looks like one of these women.
Why don't you put up old James LaBrie, I mean young James LaBrie, and let me see what he looks like, and I'll tell you who the model is.
Like with
his
long hair and stuff.
Looks like kind of like Ben Shapiro, honestly.
Oh my god!
I'm thinking of Fabio.
Yes, I can definitely see Fabio.
Oh my god, Winter Rose. That was good. Also the hair.
He does look like Fabio. Yeah, I see that. Fabio mixed with Ben Shapiro. Ben Shafabio. Robert Plant looks like Edge right there.
So,
I guess he always does.
So James LaBrie, he's reasonably only charging $55 for a cameo compared to Vince Neil, $300. So he recently... Now, here's the thing. For me personally, I'm not a fan of Dream Theater. I cannot say I'm a fan of Dream Theater. I respect that they're excellent musicians, but anytime I've been to a show where they've performed, I'm just so bored. Well, it's not true. I'm really, really into it, and then James LaBrie starts singing, and I'm out. I'm not a fan of how his vocals complement the music. It's a little too power metal-y, and I wish it was much a heavier vocal choice. That's why I'm a bigger fan of Liquid Tension Experiment, which is the instrumental version, kind of.
I've always thought of Dream Theater as the band that really nobody likes except musicians.
Yeah, they're definitely a musician's band. Like, that's their main... like demographic are probably all like guitarists who have at least 5 years experience.
Right.
So with that said, let's see how James handles Cameo.
All Elite Scooby Doo. You want me to sing All Elite Scooby Doo?
I mean, seriously, like this guy's married, right? Like, his wife has nothing to say about this mustache. It looks like it's not even like he has the side. Like, did he just dye the sides blonde or gray? Like, what's going on?
How many times? Sure. Oh, go ahead, Sid.
No,
sorry.
I'm not sure. It sort of looks like some pictures I've seen of Gigi Allen, but he was going for like a very specific psychotic look. So I don't think this guy's trying for the same thing, but that's sort of what it gives me.
How many times a day do you think he tells people, it's Charlie Chaplin? I meant Charlie Chaplin.
It's wider.
Look at the movies, goddammit.
I think depending on where he lives on Long Island, he'll tell us.
He can't even stand still, this guy.
I refuse to believe anyone that young is a massive Dream Theater fan to the point where they're like their
mom got
them
this.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think the mom.
I believe it.
The mom just did this to like to say she did it for the kids.
No, I could believe it. Like, look, if you get into metal at like 13, pick up a guitar, you like they're the guitar band. I could see you like really getting into it.
I'm going to give you a spoiler for the end of this video and explain why this video exists. 18 years ago, the woman who ordered this video was backstage at a Dream Theater show and had a good time with the lead singer. And this is her way of introducing the lead singer to his son.
So it cuts off like right before the end. Like, fuck, no, what? No.
Cancel. And he starts crying.
How do you know?
Yeah, really.
He's Illuminati.
Also, okay, here you get a really good look at his stash here. There's nothing here. Like, he's shaving it. Like, what? Why?
He's
I don't know. Also, I never really picked up on how Canadian his accent.
By the way, I think the model is Linda Evangelista.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I guess I could see that.
Yeah. Fabio Moore, but yeah, I see it.
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Yeah. They can be like fraternal twins.
Yeah.
But Linda Evangelista is like the
way
Arnold Schwarzenegger to his Danny DeVito twins.
Yeah, or the Swayze brothers. You ever see Patrick Swayze's brother?
Oh, God, let's see.
Yeah, they look exactly like brothers, but completely 180 degrees apart. But yeah.
Brother.
That's
whoa.
All
it just shows you how weird genetics is. Like, they're brothers instantly. But
what is this? He looks like an actor, like
Harry Hamlin.
Harry Hamlin?
No.
Yeah, I could sort of see it.
Yeah, like old Harry Hamlin.
He just looks like Patrick Swayze, but like through a wood chipper or something.
It's kind of like
stomped on his face.
Finn Balor, too, his siblings are like, oh, you're a much less attractive
version. Oh, no.
Woof! Woof!
Channeling Ivan Moody over here.
He's a wrestler.
Yeah.
But anywho.
That's his brother, All Elite Scooby-Doo Balor.
Is that Nick Kroll on the end? Christmas sweater?
Nope.
Oh.
All right, so here we go. Back to James LaBrie. Wow, look at this. A direct cameo plug. Don't forget.
I mean, Rob, you should take notes.
What a pro, I'm saying.
Is this not a violation of the terms of service? Come on. Get out of here with this. Poor woman.
Yeah, it's almost like that's what he's saying. He's like, oh, that poor woman. I see her on my music.
He sounds so Canadian that... Like, it seems like a Kids in the Hall sketch. Like, we're in the updated Kids in the Hall, where they're incorporating cameo into their bit. Boy. It'll go a little something like this. What a pro.
Oh, wait. No.
Wow.
Me.
the faces here are going to be incredible.
He's winding it up.
Do
that again, please. No, that was great.
Do re mi fa sol.
You got to do the Mariah Carey thing where she does this with the hands up and down.
He's doing it. He's doing the right.
Could you work this out before you start the fucking camera, for fuck's sake? I don't need to see you tuning up the band here.
No!
Why?
No!
This still.
He looks and sounds like a 1940s cartoon pot-bellied stove that's emitting smoke.
His singing face reminds me of Judd Hirsch. I don't know if that...
You want me to sing a song? I mean, I don't know what song you want me to sing.
All right, but
this is uncomfortable.
I look like a Linda Evangelista. That's a great compliment.
Oh, my God.
Very beautiful. A very beautiful, goyish woman.
Oh, my God.
Look at his tongue. It looks like one of those sun-kissed candies. Oh. Sun-kissed jellies.
What is that?
It looks like you're like a Laffy Taffy or something.
Now and later.
I know he lives in a private house, but I wish he lived in an apartment so we could hear his upstairs neighbor like pounding on the floor to tell him to shut the fuck up. Every day with this shit, man. Shut up.
How many fucking cameos are you gonna do? Enough is enough.
This is rough.
Fucking old shoe comes through his window.
Also, like, Dream Theater are perfectionists. You know, they mix it. Like, he didn't give a fuck. Like, he's like,
20 is tough for everybody, man. You gotta make that cash.
The Undertaker, he's gotta squeeze in 47 more cameos there.
Yeah.
You don't know. God bless his mother. God bless his father. I love that little part at the end where he's like, he finishes belting out this horrible, and then he goes like,
something like that.
He was just like Tina Turner fucking belting on the stage. It's a little something.
Yeah, I don't know.
Just do it together last night.
Let's play that again.
Tomorrow!
It goes on like that some more. You don't want to hear that. Ethan. You don't want to hear this thing you just asked me to do. You don't want to hear that.
Like, the end of it was great, I thought.
Because it ended.
Yeah,
yes.
I agree, Noah. I concur.
But the beginning of it made me feel so uncomfortable.
Because he turned, you were just talking about Danny DeVito. He turned into Danny DeVito. They got all squat. And he went like, He's like a little armadillo. Like
there's a little Douglas Levison to it as well.
What? I'm mediocre nothing. Who are you?
Is Douglas Levison on Cameo? That needs to happen.
Please.
I wish.
I think he's embarrassed about his babe, you know?
Why? Did we shame him into hiding?
Well, there was that other guy. Someone pranked him and like basically called him up. Purporting to be a reporter.
Oh, yeah.
And he starts answering questions like normally. And then there were some joke questions in this. It goes, what are you trying to pull here? You ruined my day watching Jeopardy and, you know, whatever he says.
Oh, it looks like there's a new interview with him last year where he gives his side of the trumpet fight story. It's audio only. It's 35 minutes. So it's something probably need to go over first.
I have the Jeopardy clip. It's short if you want to hear
it. Let's hear it.
Thank you for messing up the first half of Jeopardy for me tonight.
I wonder what he's doing.
There's another one.
Are you with Inside Edition or are you some nut calling me up?
Like Inside Edition or nuts.
Yeah,
come on.
That's a reputable outlet.
Come on.
I am a great exponent.
And I'm a great exponent in peace and love.
He raises numbers to the third power for peace and love.
What was the word he was trying to use, do you think?
Proponent, I guess.
Yes.
Oh, proponent.
He just seems like a learned guy. He got one slip up. He walked Bob Dylan up. He went to the Conservatory of Music.
Right.
There's probably a question about exponents on Jeopardy, so it was just on his mind.
He's trained classically. He's trained contemporaneously. Got those right.
I hope he's doing all right during the pandemic.
Yeah, he looks like he's in a risk group. And that was like 15
yeah.
years ago. God
yeah.
knows what he looks like now. So,
yeah,
hunchback. I mean, is he? I mean, he is, I think. He's got something wrong with him.
If he isn't yet, he's on the path to being that.
I hope he's all right. God bless you, Doug. I mean, I'm an atheist, but figure of speech.
I do want to point out, like, I just clicked on James LeBrie's cameo, and on this one, you get a better look at the stash.
Fresh out the shower.
Hey, what?
Hey, Lee? Lee?
Lee? All Elite Scooby-Doo.
Dreamy his eyes look.
They're dream theatery, I would say.
Yeah.
It's dream theatery eyes.
Noah, are the eyes distracting you from the Adolf Hitler Nazi mustache that he's sporting?
Yes, I'm looking at his eyes, not his upper lip.
Working,
man. Like the cameo is a little higher quality. You can kind of see that he's still like where there's no Hitler mustache, there's like a line mustache almost at the ends that connects to his goatee.
There's a whole lot going
on
there.
Which is all just for men'd up. You know, he's clearly using way too much just for men.
Yeah, you'd think if you're that concerned with your beard being gray, just don't have any facial hair there. You're gonna,
yeah.
you're making a Hitler mustache and then dyeing it. It can't be a good formula.
Look, he's taking it back. Just let him have it.
Taking it back. He's taking it back to 1933 at the Reichstag.
Oh, no acoustic, no a cappella here. Oh my God!
In the name of God! One more in the name of God! Sorry. Sounds like Scorpions. It actually sounded not too bad.
It sounded way better than the other one. But
well, the other song I think was too high for him.
At a few points, he lost me here.
The breaths he takes in between belting it out, though, are rough.
Yeah,
I was going to say, he needs to be trained a little bit more, it seems.
Oh, shit.
Did he rip that song off of Scorpions, though? It sounds like that. Take me to the magic of the moment.
No, it's completely different.
Oh, sorry.
I know. Whoa.
I mean, he rips his mustache off from a German person, so why not rip music off from a German band? All inspiration from Germany for this guy.
One more, let's do.
Oh, boy.
Let's hear it. Kev James Gill?
I wanted to say about the other one, at least he's very good about, like, starting it off differently, remembering who he's talking to, and he does personalize it very well.
Yeah, he's putting in an effort.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah, we're not. Yeah, that we're just roasted.
Except the Nazi mustache.
Yeah.
He knew that real fast.
Yeah, he put thought into it.
I also love that he's wearing a Mesa Boogie beanie. Like, he's keeping it real, wearing some free swag one of his reps gave him. Even though he's a millionaire. I love
it. He's keeping it real. He's doing another fucking plug, Rob. Come on.
Yeah,
sorry.
Imagine we're sitting here talking about what a nice guy. He seems like a great guy. And then he pans over and there's like a wall of Nazi memorabilia like Lemmy's house.
He's just a collector.
Yeah. Fucking Luftwaffe shit on his wall. Okay, Dr. Fauci LeBrie.
Yeah. I love that he's providing updates for all of his cameo fans.
He's put a timeline on it for us. Very helpful. Thanks. He's like Anvil. He's going to work on the vaccine in his basement and write a song about it. Remember that? Their video where they claimed in their song to have invented a vaccine.
A good chat.
Good talk. Good talk.
Oh, no singing here. Oof.
What was that accent?
I don't know.
Yeah. Gang bang backstage to the music.
You know, if he sings for all of them.
Glad he gave us a warning.
He's like, I work!
He's like, he has passion.
Not enough whoops.
Woof woof!
Should do a duet with Ivan Moody.
Oh my god. Jeez.
Oh, nice. Do not look at me when you sing that, please. No eye contact.
This is like a POV porn for like 45-year-old soccer moms.
I was going to say like metal. Look, we're having fun. We're having a good time laughing about this. But I feel like for a Dream Theater fan to be serenaded by James LaBrie, $55 is a good deal.
I got to say, I'll say one positive thing. Of all the cameos we've watched many different peoples. This is the one that's doing it correctly for the people the most who he's doing them for.
Right.
He's at least engaged.
100%. Yeah.
He's trying. But that almost makes it sadder.
Why?
Like how tough are times for him that he has to try so hard on his cameos?
Does it really have to? Like, how hard, how much effort is that really to just read the message that the person
He's the only one putting forth that effort, so it must be a lot.
I think about this every time we do the cameo thing. Like, whatever it is, whoever it happens to be, the one we're talking about, is what that person just did too degrading to be worth the amount of money that they just did it for? And this one, I would say no. This one it probably is, it seems very normal, other than the cringy singing, but there's fans like that, so that's okay. The Undertaker one, I don't know, man. The guy's worth 8 figures, maybe 9 figures of the money he's collected over his life. And, you know, $30,000, okay, if someone hands me a bag of $30,000 with a dollar sign on it, I'll take it. It's a good chunk of money. I don't know if it's worth degrading myself by going, oh, Elite Scooby-Doo, you know?
Really? It's just like 20 minutes of saying this bullshit.
And also, he's retiring, so who cares?
Look, let's scale the amount of money he has down to normal people. That's like the equivalent of $200 to him. Would you do that for $200?
Sure. Are we sure he pocketed all that money?
No, he did. He obviously did it. Yeah, Cameo got their fee. WWE got their fee.
No, but I mean, like, was it like a charity thing?
No.
You're sure about that?
Positive. No mention of a charity.
But especially if you're a public figure that's known for never breaking character and having this image that's never been tarnished, and then you're like, oh, you're Bubba. You're my pet lizard. You're pet lizard. I'm so sorry to hear that he died. You're very good at baseball, you know.
Yeah.
It's like...
It's like, if you're finally going to break from character, this is the platform for that?
Invest in, you know, Apple or something. Just you don't need this. You don't need this. Who's advising him? But Dream Theater, this guy, I would say, this is an appropriate, like, not so cringy cameo.
I was just thinking about, like, when he was singing and he was holding the camera, it just seemed like he was holding it, like, up here, and it's just... with his Hitler stash, just kind of, if only there was someone there who could like take another video of him actually doing it.
I thought he was like holding it to prevent like super focus on his double chin happening.
Like probably part of it.
He's a vain guy. He used to look like Fabio. Now he's, you know, he's not a bad looking guy, but he's 50 something. So maybe more than that. So he's probably conscious of the angles, so to speak.
He probably asked like his kids or whoever, and they're like, "No, we have to be in the room while you're singing at a camera." No, on your own, Dad.
Tell you what, shave off the Nazi mustache, and we'll do one cameo video for you.
They're probably the ones that talked him into getting him that. Yeah, no, it'll look great, Dad. No, seriously, everybody's wearing it like that now. Really? All right, cool.
It's back in now. Trust me. They photoshopped like Kanye West with him.
They showed him that Michael Jordan Hanes commercial. Like if Michael Jordan's doing, he's the coolest guy on the planet.
That's definitely the best example of mainstream Hitler mustaching you. I need to get a drink of water. Noah, why don't you tell our lovely folks about our Spotify playlist?
Okay. So every week we put together a playlist on Spotify that we really want you to go and heart. And this week, so basically, like if you search for Metal Injection Livecast Music Break, you'll find it. And the order of it is usually Rob, who picked Internaut. And then it's Darren. Darren, do you want to talk about your pick?
I wanted you to have to say it because it's in Spanish.
Wait, hold on. I can't really see.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's El Gran Combo de Puerto Rico.
Wow. Very good. What about the song? Can you say the song?
Yeah,
of course you can.
Okay. Of course I can. Wait.
It's a metal band also. That's why
I
picked
it. Oh, it's Brujeria.
Yeah, exactly. Brujeria, which means witchcraft.
Oh, I thought it. I didn't know that.
What did you think of that?
I thought about like brother.
No, Bruja is a witch, and Brujeria is like doing witch spells. I've been like on a salsa and merengue kick like lately.
Oh.
And also, and this is like the super group of every. It's like a super group of salsa merengue artists that just got together. And they've been around since. It's like it has rotating members forever.
We're talking about Brujeria?
No. That's the song. It's the same song as the same name as the band, but nothing to do with them.
Okay. I missed the first part.
So El Gran Combo has been around since like early 60s and still around. I think so.
Have you been taking salsa lessons?
I just like to listen. I'm not a big dancer.
Sid?
Continuing the trend of me just picking something that I have previously discussed in our Discord. Everybody sign up to our Discord. Me and Dallas in the Discord were talking about Billy Joe Armstrong side project bands. And we both agreed Pinhead Gunpowder was the best one. So I picked one of my favorite Pinhead Gunpowder songs.
How many are there? How many does he have?
Too many. 3, 4, 5 of them. So a lot. I don't think they're all like concurrent, but he's done like a lot of side projects throughout like the last 30 years, I guess. God damn, he's old.
Damn.
Well, they were around since the 80s, right?
Since the late 80s, yeah. It's crazy.
He aged well. He didn't look older than that.
He always sort of looked like a child.
Yeah.
He looks like a slightly wrinkly child.
Rob?
Ew. Well,
who did you pick?
Oh, no.
I kind of glossed over Rob's just because the order of it. I picked Where the Slime Live by Morbid Angel because it's my favorite Morbid Angel song.
And is he wearing a ECW shirt in that video? Or am I misremembering?
I don't even remember what the video sounds like, but I do remember just like loving that album and just like always listening to that song.
I got to tell you a very brief Morbid Angel story, or not really Morbid Angel story, but they're in it.
Wait, how do you say Morbid Angel in Spanish?
I wouldn't know how to say morbid. I have no idea.
How do you say angel?
Angel. Los Angeles, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say more. If anyone in our chat. Like,
morbido.
Did you look it up?
Yeah.
All right, okay. There you go. That would, if I said morbido, Angel Morbido, you would have. Yeah, right. The fuck out of here. Stop guessing.
Doesn't that guy host Sabado Gigante?
Esta porción de Sabado Gigante está presentada por Tide. Morbid Angel. So I was working in a record store, and you know, like in the back where the offices were, there was like a big blackboard. So like to, you know, corporate engaging of the employees, they had like a question of the week, like, you know, put your favorite band 1 week or, you know, a song, whatever. So one time it was like mix the two band names one after the other. So like Al Green Day or something like that. Mm. The one starts it and one. So everyone did their thing, whatever. And this guy walks in, takes the guy never talked. This is a guy I never heard him say one word. He walks into the office. He goes to the blackboard, takes a magic marker. He goes, Morbid apostrophe Angelo, Morbid D'Angelo. Mic drop. That's it. No one's beating this shit. It was Tuesday. Forget it. Don't even come back to the board. The funniest shit I ever saw. Morbid D'Angelo. No. You get to,
We need a mashup.
Morbid D'Angelo?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'd love to hear that.
Live cast listeners, let's get on this.
Maybe it exists, though you would have probably already posted it on Metal Injection.
Yeah. There's quite a few mashup artists now. It's quite a YouTube phenomenon. But here's the ECW shirt. There we go.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Very metal.
And we, of course, had a former Morbid Angel vocalist David Vincent on the show many moons ago. You can look that up in our archives. All of our past episodes, all past 595 plus episodes of our show are available for free, streaming everywhere where podcasts are downloaded, like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Omni, TuneIn,
CompuServe,
Prodigy,
SiriusXM,
Angel Fire,
Morbid Angel Fire. Are Morbid Angels still doing that, like EDM thing they were doing back then? Like,
no, well, David Vincent left the band after that. There was a whole fallout because, like, the rest of the band, like, we got to get back to what sells the records. And they put out, like, a heavier record. And now he has.
That was his song, Killer Cop.
So he has a industrial project now, and then he has, like, his death metal project, I Am Morbid.
Hear me roar.
But I did want to add, on the topic of all of these apps, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, please do us a favor. It would mean so much to us if you take a few moments and give us a favorable review on these services. It really helps get a little extra eyeballs on our podcast and or earballs. So do it.
Sid?
What? I was just scared of the concept of earballs. Sounds like
no,
you have to get lasered off.
I heard a motor humming. Thought it was.
Was not my fart.
Rob, you have that picture of that turkey there. Is that your turkey, or did you find that on the internet?
No, I found it on the internet. I had a turkeyless Thanksgiving this year.
Why? Any reason?
I just didn't have a gather. I stayed home. I listened to the recommendations and didn't do a gather. So I just did takeout, and I just did barbecue takeout. It was very delicious.
From hometown or where?
No, it was from this place, Morgan's. It was the only one that was open. But it was good.
That's
it's on
true.
Flatbush.
Hometown was open. Shame on you.
No, not when I was ordering.
Sad.
I tried. That was the first place I went. Of course I wanted hometown.
Bushwick Barry got from hometown on Thanksgiving Day, and he ordered turkey, and they gave him brisket instead. And I'm like, that's a win. And he's like, no, I was disappointed.
It's the principle of it.
Yeah. But really, the brisket is just objectively better than turkey.
I don't know what hometown is.
Hometown Barbecue in Red Hook, where our friend Mike works. We've talked about it on the show before. You've never been to Hometown Barbecue?
I feel like we've had so many gatherings there.
That needs to be rectified at some point. It's the best barbecue.
Is it in Red Hook?
I'll just go.
There's also one in Industry City now.
Oh.
Where's Industry City?
Manhattan.
Oh.
It's essentially Sunset Park.
What am I thinking of? That's over there, where the High Line is. That's something like Industry City.
Oh, Blue Smoke.
No, I'm saying the name of the area.
You're thinking of where the
Co-op City?
No. Where the Hudson Yards is, right? There's like another.
No, lower than that, like Teens Street.
Alphabet City.
I don't know. I'll look it up later. It's not interesting.
Is it the Oculus?
No. That's
is it the Statue of Liberty?
Is it the World Trade Center?
The Oculus is
Chrysler Building?
It's Latin for earballs, by the way. I don't know if you knew that.
That's the episode title. Latin for earball.
Earball.
Done.
That's one more point for me. I wonder if that guy's keeping up with this. This guy we used to track how many of the episode titles each of us came up with, and also the other category for, you know, sometimes it's a guest. So I think it was Rob was number one and I was number two. Me and Sid were like neck and neck, I think. And
I like to more point them out as opposed to be the one who says them.
You got a bunch of them though.
Yeah.
I have like two.
Oh,
no, you have more than
almost 600.
You were not in a very distant fourth. You were like close fourth.
You know what? I don't like being last.
You weren't. Sean was last.
Oh, yeah. I forget about Sean.
Probably for the best.
Yes. Sean is in Chicago.
Or, I think he's in a suburb. He's not cool enough to be in Chicago proper. He's in a suburb.
Oh. I wonder if like John from Chicago has noticed Sean walking around town.
Parting it up already. Noticed. Sean went and found that guy and they hung out probably.
Well, Sean works
together.
At a hospital, so if he's noticing Sean around, then things have gone bad for Sean.
In our YouTube chat, Voodoo Chaos asks, how did you guys spend Thanksgiving? I gave my answer.
Yeah, I basically did what Rob did.
You also
I went
barbecue?
To family.
Stayed at home with my wife. We did have turkey, though.
I did not have turkey. I don't like turkey anyway.
What did you have?
I'm anti-turkey. I don't like birds that are not afraid of me, like, in general.
In general? Like, are there other birds that you don't like if they're not afraid of? Like,
yeah, no, I like those little, like, tukey birds, you know, like the little small ones. But
yeah. Flamingos, forget about it. They can go fuck themselves.
Isn't it empowering then to be able to eat one of these menacing birds? Like, yeah,
no,
I am
disgusting.
In charge, motherfucker. Take that.
They
no?
disgust me. They disgust me so much. I hate turkeys.
What disgust you?
We should what? Just make them go extinct. I don't know.
Well,
like,
eating
please.
Them helps.
Yeah.
So you guys eat more. I don't,
what,
don't
what,
like them.
What do you find disgusting about a turkey?
The whole thing.
But like,
I told you, I don't like birds that are not afraid of me, and that includes pigeons and turkeys.
Well,
have
you ever met
birds?
A turkey?
Yeah.
Have I what?
Have you ever met a turkey that you know for sure they're not afraid of?
I have
of
been
you?
Chased by a school of turkeys.
What?
I believe it's called an All Elite Scooby-Doo
stop!
Of turkeys.
Turn it off. Stop sharing your screen.
I'm starting to think it's more about you being scared of the turkey rather than them not being scared of you.
Well, duh.
Well, hold on. When were you chased by turkeys?
Upstate.
So you were on a turkey farm?
No, I was not on a turkey farm. When
you
my
just walk around the highway up there.
No, it's like there's more land for turkeys to like roost or whatever. And when my parents lived like further upstate in their property, one time I was like outside and there was like a bunch of turkeys.
You turned down the wrong alleyway. It was just like a turkey street gang.
Yeah,
you're
like
in the wrong neighborhood, bitch. This is Turkey Town.
The fucking Jets and the Sharks, but they're turkeys. Little motorcycle jackets on.
Pulled out a switchblade and chased you down the block.
Pretty much. And then the pigeons attacked me on King's Highway when I was walking to junior high school, and after that I just never liked pigeons.
Hold on.
Turkey so much. They're not scared of me.
I was walking on King's Highway, and as I walked past the corner of East 19th Street where that Carvel was, remember when the Carvel was on the corner and
yeah.
Now it's like an Arabic restaurant?
Uh-huh.
It's not
a restaurant.
It's Mimo.
Is it Mimo?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
It like
I love
went...
that place. Oh my God. So good. Sorry, Noah.
I'm trying to tell a sad story about the time a pigeon attacked me.
You're 100% right. I got distracted by how good Mimo was. I apologize.
Me want some mo. You know what I'm saying?
So, yes. So, turkeys disgust me. I'll never eat one.
I had a similar experience in when I visited the U.S. Virgin Islands, which is so crazy to think that I went on this trip this year, in February of this year, like right before everything shut down.
Shut Good.
You're scared of tires.
I'm so glad. But there were roosters everywhere. Like the way there are
you
stray
cocks?
Cocks? Cocks all over. Cocks roosting, cocks cocking around. Like, seriously, like there was a pathway where we had to like dodge the cocks. They're all over. They are all over.
You are getting slammed with cocks all over the U.S. Virgin Islands.
And the cocks, they are loud cocks, you know? So like 7
aggressive cocks.
7 a.m. you hear aggressive cock noises.
Hard cocks.
Hard cock noises. It's really.
You hear them going, cock-a-doodle-doo.
But I want to say, like, you know, I was walking to the beach and like I was walking near a cock. And
just right out on the beach, there was a cock.
There's a cock in the walk.
Just laying there.
And the fucking, like, it was like, oh, you stepping to me? And it, like, you know, like it shows its fat, you know, it expands its wings. Like, oh, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And I'm like, no, I just want to get to the beach, Mr. Cock.
So he wanted to get out into a cockfight with you.
Yeah. Yeah. What it's like, this isn't a dick measuring contest, Mr. Cock.
Wait,
so would you say that the cock was getting all up in your business?
Sid, who would you have put your money on in a cockfight, Rob or the cock?
I think Rob is familiar with cock destroyers, so I think he would have the advantage just based on that. His reputation precedes him. But wait, no, is this any animal that you would eat needs to be an animal that would fear you, or just in the bird world?
Birds. Like if they fly over my head, I don't like it. If they have that capability, I probably don't like it. But it's so funny about that.
How did we not know this about you before? This is incredible. If they fly over my head, I can't eat them. This is so specific.
It's an irrational fear, completely.
Can I ask another follow-up question to you, Noah?
Sure.
What would be an example of an animal, of a bird that does fear you, and how do you know?
Like those little parakeets, or like the little birds that we see around your
city. But you're not eating those.
No,
you
I
would
eat
them.
Them.
You would eat them. If someone fricasseed the motherfucker up, you'd eat it, right?
No, I wouldn't eat it because it's like, no, I just wouldn't eat it. Unless, of course, it was like the end of the world and there was no food left. Then I would be okay with eating that, but not
then you
turkey.
Then you got to take the turkey down, too. Well, So are there any birds that do fear you that you would eat that you
chicken.
Do eat? Oh, chickens fear you. Okay. Gotcha.
Chicken. Yeah, I guess.
Have you
can.
Ever been near a chicken? Because they can get pretty aggressive. Maybe it's best you don't.
I don't like to think about it. Like, to me, a chicken, like, I can't see it. If I start to think about it as, like, a like an animal or a bird, then I don't. Like, I stop eating it. But I know that a chicken most likely can't fly over my head. You know, they just, like, jump.
But you know the one on your plate can't fly over your head. So what's the danger?
You know, so it doesn't make sense. It's like the people who go on like Jenny Jones and they're afraid of cotton.
That's true. I have things like that that I can't, it makes no sense either. So I can relate to that.
But like in my mind, there's like a whole like web of lies that helps me contain, like, you know, keep the fear alive.
We need to prank Noah where she orders some chicken and it's like actually still alive, and it would get like David Blaine or something to do some bait and switch, and then the bird, he puts a live bird there and it flies into her face.
Or we just put like a chicken suit on a drone and just follow her on one of her like mountain climbing expeditions, just like a chicken in the sky. Like,
breaking news. Oh, it falls off a mountain.
Oh my god, I love this so much.
Israeli woman plummeted to her death earlier today. Reports say she was running away from a chicken flying overhead. More on these details as they develop.
Question of the week. We're bringing back question of the week. What foods are you afraid of?
Call it the answer.
No, I think the question needs to be, what foods do you have an irrational fear about or of?
All it gets is a very rational fear.
Yeah.
Not afraid of it, even. I just don't fucking... It's disgusting. No fear involved.
I just fear what will happen to my digestive tract.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's... Because I eat plenty of things that fuck with my digestive tract, but they taste good. So, get up my digestive tract. At least I'll sacrifice it for something delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Well... Speaking of something delicious, to shift topics ever so slightly from chicken, let's switch to burgers. So Gordon Ramsay has announced a new burger that will be $106. Revving up for his December opening of the London location of his Las Vegas-based restaurant, Gordon Ramsay Burger, the Michelin-starred chef is turning heads for its menu lineup. But it's not because everything sounds so good. It's because there's one particular item that's priced oddly high. A $106 burger. Yikes. This is the writing, by the way.
Sound like James LaBrie over there warming up.
Though a burger...
That's probably why he's doing that cameo, so he could afford to go get that burger.
He'd have to do at least two of them.
Yeah.
Though a burger priced... that high seems a bit absurd to most. Ramsay, however, believes that it will be well worth the price tag. The burger joint promises that these won't be your average quarter pounders.
Better not, motherfucker.
I would hope not, yeah. So what makes it so tantalizing, you ask? I do.
The whole cow.
Apparently, the burger, named the Wagyu Burger, will reportedly feature an exquisite lineup of 100% UK heritage beef patty, seared Wagyu sirloin, fresh black truffles, I assume, and truffle pecorino cheese. Keep in mind, though, fries are sold separately, is like, wow.
Fries are $110.
I want to be the guy that goes in there and asks for that burger well done. I dare you to tell me no. I'm willing to pay you over $100 for a burger. Burn that shit.
I have a feeling they'll throw you out on your ear.
Yeah, honestly. They probably would.
Knowing it's Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
He says, I promise you will never have tasted anything quite as delicious as the amazing burgers at Gordon Ramsay Burger. I've been perfecting burgers for years in America.
In New Zealand?
You know.
He's a sheep herder. Crikey. Restaurant. Bushwhackers.
I've been perfecting burgers for years in America.
Crocodile Dundee.
That's not a burger. This is a burger.
So another bag on the babby, mate.
There's no like gold leaf on it or anything.
No, that's what I thought. No, I guess the truffle is what really brings up the price. They do mention there are cheaper options like the spicy Hell's Kitchen burger with jalapeno aioli and mozzarella cheese. And an American burger. Oh, that's $33. And then the classic American burger made with American cheese is $28. And there's also a $56 lobster and shrimp burger equipped with a pan-seared lobster and rock shrimp patty. Fuck that. I'd have that. That sounds amazing.
So there's not like a beef burger. The burger is made of shrimp?
And lobster. Yes. That sounds incredible.
The burger being made of shrimp sounds incredible. I don't know.
Lobster and shrimp it's made of.
It's ground up lobster and shrimp.
Yes.
I feel like making it into a burger, like, would... I mean, I'm not a big lobster person, obviously, but wouldn't that just... Wouldn't you rather just eat the lobster?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, it's like having a salmon burger. You could just have salmon, but it's a different little... something different.
I would get the... I think I would... If I'm already going out and it's like a special occasion and it's like we're going to a fancy dinner and everything is already really expensive, I might get a $106 burger. I have to admit.
How do you feel about truffle flavor, though, in general? You like
totally it? Overrated.
I think it's hit and miss.
Yeah.
I think I've had it where it's exquisite, and I've had it other times where this is ruining what it's in now.
It's very easy to overdo that flavor.
Yes,
and
I agree.
It's like you can't taste anything else for like the rest of the night. It just coats your entire mouth, and then you're just
I absolutely agree. They overdo it because it's such a trendy item now, I feel, and it's an excuse to charge way more.
Yeah.
It tastes like garlic to me usually.
Yeah, agrees. It's slightly different than garlic, but it's just garlic
oil.
Yeah. I don't get the hype.
I'll be the truffle defender. I think when it's done right and subtly, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a pizza place by me that you could get truffle oil as a topping on your pizza, and that is really fucking good. Because it's just the right amount. They don't overdo it. So you just get that little hint with every bite. And it's really nice.
As someone who has garlic on his pizza, I'm very into that.
You know what I've been putting on pizza?
Not turkey, I bet.
Definitely not turkey. No. I put hot honey.
Okay.
On it.
Mm. Yeah.
All right. So like a sriracha honey?
Nope.
Like that Justin Foley honey that he just gave us that one time?
Mike, it's Mike's hot honey.
So it's just heated up honey, or it's spicy honey?
No, spicy. It's like they keep like chilies in it or something. So it's like it's got a little bit of kick.
And do you heat the honey also because you're eating a hot food or no?
No, I don't think you're supposed to heat
it's
honey.
Just room temperature, probably, right?
I'm asking you. I don't know. What do I know? I never had honey on a pizza.
So, just to take a step back, like, so Darren, you said you would have the $106 burger.
I mean, I'm not. If I was there already, if we're doing a special,
let me set the scenario here. This is a birthday party or a gathering that you were invited to. It's not your party. You're just invited to this place. You
live in London?
We're all in London.
All right.
And you see the menu. You see these $25, $30 burgers, and you see the $106 burger.
Yeah.
You going for it?
I would rationalize it to myself and just say, like, well, I already spent, you know, $5,000 to go to London anyway. So what the fuck? Enjoy yourself. But I don't think that's my favorite kind of burger. So maybe, like, I might get one of the other burgers just because I like that better. But I wouldn't – what I'm trying to say is I wouldn't be averse to trying a $106 burger because of the price tag if it looked good.
I'm not – yeah, I agree with you. I'm not immediately shutting it down because of the price. For me, it's the value that you're getting for the price is not worth it. I've certainly had expensive meals like 100, you know, or even slightly more sometimes, you know, special occasion, why not? But it has, I feel like it has to be worth it. You know, like I've also had occasions where I've gone to like a seafood restaurant and I've spent like $150 and I'm like, I didn't really like, I barely ate anything. I'm like still hungry. This wasn't worth it. And it's
a burger goes by quick too, you know?
Right. And you still got to buy fries.
I tend to just like classic burger with like American, like I'll change it to cheddar cheese. And then sometimes if I'm like really feeling crazy, I'll order pepper jack cheese, but like pecorino or mozzarella on a burger, it doesn't feel to me at all.
Robert Pecorino, whatever his name is.
how do we like our burgers? I like my medium.
Rare. Yeah. Rare.
I know it's a sin. Sometimes I'll ask medium well.
I ask medium well when I do delivery because I feel like by the time it gets here, it's going to like cool. Yeah, it's going to cool off. And a cold medium burger is gross, but like a cold medium well burger, it's still edible.
I don't know if you've ever tried a rare burger. A lot of people haven't. It's the best shit. A steak, I would get medium rare. I don't like rare steak. I like rare burgers. Burgers rare are just such a wonderful experience.
I've had like tartare, right? Like steak tartare or something. Like raw meat.
Yeah.
Not much for me.
Not a fan of steak tartare with the raw. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just too, like, what's appealing to you about it, Darren?
What about the burger being rare?
Yeah.
I don't eat steak tartare. I don't like that.
Just the burger.
The consistency is so much nice. It's like nice and mushy. And I feel like you just get more of the flavor. And when I make a burger, I feel like when you make it rare, it absorbs more of the flavoring that you put on it. So it gets into the center somehow more. Like when you cook it more, it loses a lot of that. Like you will taste the flavoring on the outside shell of the burger and nothing inside too. So that's, you know, it's more flavor in your mouth when it's rare. But really, it's the consistency is the biggest thing for me. I like a nice mushy burger. Like when it first goes from like purple to red, that's when I stop cooking it.
I'm always a little paranoid.
Well, you can't, I mean, you could eat the burger raw and you wouldn't die. The issue is with bacteria on the outside. So if you clean it and you sear the outside, even the purple meat would not kill you. You can eat the ground beef raw and it won't kill you if you wash it. And washing it is the like searing it. That's why you sear, it's a steak too. That's why you sear a steak, even if you're cooking it in the oven, because you're searing the bacteria off of it. And that's, if you don't do that, that's how you get fucking sick. But it's not really the temperature so much.
Great cooking tips.
Also, purple meat is Rob's Tinder name.
I was gonna say I was trying so hard to make a joke with Pecorino and Rob, but that was it. That was way better, Sid.
You know, Rob's got a purple dick. I feel like I've said this on the show before. I just feel like it's probably just based on your skin tone. I feel like your dick is probably purplish.
No, not true.
I choose to believe that.
It's not true.
There's only one way you could change my mind, and I don't think you're going to do it.
For the Patreons.
Oh, I hope we never learn the truth to that one.
My dick is basic skin tone. Same skin tone as you see here. That's what we got.
Well, I see several skin tones.
Fair point.
I see like a little bit of pink. A little bit of olive, a little bit of
an olive color.
A little bit of olive in my eye, on Rob's cock. A little bit of pink tone on his rock.
You know what? We should ask James LeBrie for a Patreon and ask him to sing that for us.
Ask him what his cock color is.
You know.
Ask him if he has a little swastika mustache on his cock too.
Hey, Metal Injection Livecast, your mom asked me to make this video. You wanted to know if my cock is purple. It's not, but yes, I did shave my pubes in the shape of a Hitler mustache for my penis, and here's a little something like a little bit of Monica, Sandra by my side.
Yeah, just a little something. No big deal.
Yeah, whatever. But keep working out and do good at school. And maybe when this whole thing is over, we can all have a little treat meter show.
Whew. I'm out of breath.
So do I have time to tell this little story that happened to me or no?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes. I thought the burger thing was the story, but go ahead.
No, the burger thing was an article that we
read. Okay, you brought up the burger thing, Rob.
No, but okay, go ahead.
So I try to do my walks, you know, so that I can keep exercising while there's a pandemic, but I'm very safe, as I always say, put on my mask and don't go near anybody. I forget 6 feet. I try not to go near like 20 feet near people, but I was walking along and I see these two, I don't know, middle 55-ish women, and they're standing in the middle of the street looking at the phone. So this is like what I like to do most of the time when there's no coronavirus is like when I see somebody doing that, I try to help them, give them directions, you know, especially if they're tourists, you know, I just like a good Samaritan thing. Like I always try to stay, if I'm not rushed for time or something, I just stop and tell them where things are. So, but then I started to do that and I was like, like coronavirus, like let me, and they had masks on. I want to say this is not a typical 3D yells at people not wearing masks story. So they were practicing good hygiene. And I get past them. I'm like, I'm not going to say anything because, like, why, you know, I talk to somebody in this environment. So I just pass them. And then I hear behind me, oh, I wonder if there's a pizzeria around here. I wonder if there's a... So I couldn't resist. So I stop and turn around. I'm like 10 feet away. And I go, do you need help finding a pizzeria? Like, that's kind of like my forte over here. And they're like, oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Thank you. We're looking for somewhere to eat. I'm like, all right, well, how far are you willing to go? You know, it's just, well, we're on foot. We don't have a car, so not too far. I was like, well, there's one about a mile and a half away. But I don't know. Oh, no, that's too far. Like maybe a few blocks. So unfortunately, there's only shit pizza around here. It's like kind of bad where we happen to be situated. And then she looks at her friend. She goes, yeah, it's probably too Jewish around here to have good pizza.
Oh.
It's like, oh, when? And then I try to stop and I processed it. At first things first, I thought there was no way these two women were not Jewish.
I mean, you know, we're Jewish and we would say that about that neighborhood too, probably.
Yeah, it could be. They could have meant it like non.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. It's like I took a second to process it. And I'm like, what is this woman really saying here? Like she's saying in her own way, this may be a little bit crude. There's no good pizza around here because it's a Jewish neighborhood. It's not
right. It's a Hasidic neighborhood, so there's less likely to be Italians here that can serve us good pizza.
This wasn't a Hasidic. This wasn't like right where I live. It was a little bit down. But she's just saying.
I could have thought of a very good pizza place that you could have debunked that.
Well, it wasn't very. Two things. It wasn't very close to J2. It was probably a mile and a half.
Wait, and also on Kings Highway. Oh no, actually, I don't think J&R Pizza is there anymore.
Oh, it's not?
It is.
Oh,
it's there, God. But I don't like J&R.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, Susan, there was no like good pizza, but she's not even really saying that Jews make bad food, even just not good pizza. I agree with generally. Yeah. And I wasn't near J2, and I'm not sending people to J2 anymore because they don't wear masks.
Yeah.
I've discussed
and it's
on
not
the show.
Good.
No, come on. You even said it was good. You just said it wasn't as good as we said.
I said it's good as its own genre, but it's not like I wouldn't compare it to Italian pizzerias.
It's not.
It's not.
Yeah, but it's still pizza.
Like Elio's is pizza.
No, this is a lot more like Italian pizza than Elio's is, though.
Hmm.
It's good. I love it. But I fully admit I may have some nostalgia tied to it. But also, I'm not sending anyone there because they don't wear fucking masks. And it really pisses me off. You can't even blame the Jewish thing because there's a Jewish fried chicken joint that's like one block away from there. And they wear masks. And they make all the clients wear masks. And they throw them right the fuck out if they don't.
I think restaurants have very strict guidelines to abide by, and I'm pretty sure that if J2 wants to stay open, they are wearing masks in there. I don't remember when you went in there, when you saw that, but maybe it was like in the beginning when nobody knew what the hell to do.
Noah, I go by there praying that they'll change their ways every day that I pass it. So I've been there roughly 10 to 15 times in a row, and each time there's three guys or two guys back there. Nobody's got a mask on. At best, the mask is around their neck.
That's crazy. Yeah. See, like I was gonna say, when I go visit family on Brighton Beach, which is a predominantly Russian conservative area, I see a lot of like cheating, you know, like nose exposed, and like even in the stores, and it gets me very upset, especially when they let people in without masks.
Yeah, that's the worst.
But I've never seen it like this, where it's just like down here or whatever.
Now I think I'm reasonable. Like if I go in a store and, you know, if it's like, I don't assume anything. It could be just the one time the thing slipped down or they're not, you know, they took a.
I'm okay with them just putting it on as they see. Like that's fine too. Just show me that you're making some effort.
But they don't. But that worries me, what you just said, because I get in principle that's okay, but what are they doing all day? Are they breathing on my meat?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't want to see
but,
that.
But getting it from a surface, they said it's way, way low risk.
The whole
it's
point
very,
of
very
the
hard.
Mask is to block the, you know, like the aerosols.
I understand that, but I worry that if they're not taking the mask seriously, they're doing other things wrong too.
I've definitely gotten that, like, you know, trajectory of thought as well, and then it's just like, well, like, for your own, you know, mental well-being, better to just avoid it.
It's also the principle of it, because I feel like this is a very fucked up time that we live in, and this goes for stores and it also goes for people in the world. Like, if you went to a country where they had a custom
and you pissed all over and you said, no, I'm an American. Fuck you. I'm doing what I want. You would be, you know, mocked, laughed at, and in some cases thrown in jail. Well, we live in the custom of the world now is you wear a fucking mask. Like,
is it a custom?
It's a de facto custom because
I don't agree with that.
It makes a lot of people, it makes their lives easier. It makes a lot of people uncomfortable to see masks not being worn. And even if you think COVID is a fucking hoax or something, how hard is it to just be considerate and put a fucking mask on to assuage people's like fears and stuff? Like, why is this such a hard thing for people to do that they're so livid about having to do it? That pisses me off. It's inconsiderate.
Yeah, like, what do you mean that you don't think it's a custom? Like, are you saying that?
I wouldn't call it a custom. I would say it's a recommendation. But what about, like, you know, people who don't know how to – there's plenty of nurses and doctors who have pointed out that people don't know that they shouldn't be reusing a surgical mask and that you take that bacteria and you put it right back on your mouth. And, you know, like, that's not helpful either.
I'm
not going to argue with you about whether masks are right or wrong because I'm on the same page as you. I just don't agree that comparing it to like a custom, like if we go to like another country and we respect their customs, and then like it just, I don't think that line of thought works for me.
Why I said a de facto custom, because I know it's not literally a custom, but we've.
But I don't think that we should think of it as a custom. I think that's not right.
I think the custom analogy is intended to show that you're being like, not you, but the person who's doing this is being an asshole to other people who are doing safe procedures. And like, you can say all you want that you don't believe COVID is real or something. I'm not telling people what to think, but when you see everyone else doing this and you're creating a problem in their life, they have to go around you, they have to wait till you're out of the fucking bank before they go in. You know, like, you're just ruining life for everybody else. All you got to do is put a fucking mask on. It's not that difficult. I'm not asking you to change your religion. Just be a productive and caring member of society.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're kind of just making it relative to your experiences, but I understand that because it is annoying, like the story you told last week about the bank and that lady coming standing next to you. She could have gone in there without her mask, but stood all the way on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just like depending on your experiences with others, but
courtesy. I think the ultimate thing is the courtesy, because like, look, I have definitely left the house to walk Babka without a mask, just because I just forgot to put it on, and I don't realize it until like I'm already out there and I'm like, oh crap. Well, so if I'm like that, I'm crossing the street, like I'm avoiding people, I'm getting out of the way. So that,
that's an honest mistake too. I'm talking about
people
who go do this on purpose.
Yes, I agree. If you're actively intentionally not wearing a mask.
Oh, okay. You didn't say that it's people who are doing it on purpose with some intention behind it. But
well, that's why I made an analogy to customs, because I'm talking about people who actively go like, fuck you. You know, this is what I want to do. And if you don't like it, fuck you, deal with it. So that, to me, that's just being an asshole. Like, you can have different beliefs from me or whatever the fuck, but if you know that 90% of the people around you, well, where I live, probably less than that, but this is the way the world is now. Like, this is the way the world is. If you don't like it, you're creating problems for other people. It's like people, I'm going to smoke wherever the fuck I want. I don't care that there's a restriction on it. I'm going to go into a bar and just fucking smoke in your face. Well, you're being an asshole. You understand what I'm saying? This is the same thing now.
Yeah, but people used to smoke in bars all the time. It was like a rule that they had to implement that you can't smoke indoors because of, you know, secondhand smoke and all that stuff.
So, but in today's society, like, if you know what smoke does to people and you stand that, like, let's say we're in a place where it's okay to smoke, right? And I stand next to you and I blow smoke into your fucking face. Is that a
good
thing?
It on purpose, or are you just smoking a cigarette and I happen to be
If I'm smoking a cigarette, which is a carcinogen, I need to not be next to you. Like, you have to respect people's right to not want smoke blown. You don't know whether they're okay with it or not. You're invading something that you may be invading a space that they don't want you at. That's just discuss the health risk.
Yeah.
They don't have to be subjected to that just because you think it's okay. Like, you have to be aware and proactive and prevent that from happening.
Well, I would say, like, to do that, you have to, like, you know, have empathy. And people don't give a fuck if, like,
exactly
that, like, where they choose to smoke. Or,
wait, that's okay. I'm not gonna get into this because it's like it's really not making any sense. So
I mean, we're speaking very generally, but go ahead.
Yeah, like, so you're saying that people who are now, like, in a smoking section outside of, like, a venue that we go to, right?
Yes.
And you happen to be standing outside on the sidewalk also because you want to go out for a breath of fresh air.
Did I walk into the smoking section? That would be a different story.
But smoke usually blows over. It doesn't stay in one
section. I'm not talking about a smoking section. I'm talking about in the public. You're walking along. This is a sidewalk there where anyone can do whatever they want. And you happen to pass somebody and you just blow smoke right into their fucking face.
Okay, so then it's on purpose.
It's not even on purpose. It's just careless. You have to be better than careless and proactive because you're smoking a carcinogen, and you shouldn't subject other people to that. It's the same with COVID. Like, you don't know what the fuck you have. So even if you don't believe it's true, you got to give the people the people have the expectation that you are infecting them or potentially infecting them. So a considerate person would just put a mask on. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's like if you're walking down the street and you're smoking, but it's not a carcinogen, but just you smoking gets your friend arrested.
It has to make a joke to cut the tension.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're just gabbing. I don't feel the tension. But there's plenty of tension on our Patreon, patreon.com/metalinjectionlivecast. And as we are winding down to the end of the show, I do want to mention that, hey, you could be a top livecast fan of the week. And these top livecast fans of the week, by contributing $10 a month, not only do you get access to all the bonus episodes, all of our video episodes of our podcast, our weekly video episodes, our bonus Patreon-only episodes, you also get a little shout-out at the end of the show, Ski, which is right now. I'm going to do it I was going to do it in my Gordon Ramsay voice.
Oh, I was going to ask for James LaBrie.
Maybe you could mix it up.
Can you keep that up for like 3 minutes?
Eric! Robert Goulbush, a.k.a. Justin! I can't go high. Benjamin! Al Dudorino, Dan R, Cattle Decap, Mindy Mayer Skipper.
Why did I ask for this?
Rock Destroyer.
I don't know.
Semi Orange Agnesist. Ginger. Shai-su-shai-su-sage. LaCroix, the crustacean sensation, aka Godstopper, Ash, Boss, Hilloff, Dallas, Robo Vampiro, Sheen, Hugo likes tacos, Lando Tanks.
It got good towards the end.
So, you know, whatever that was.
Gotta send your audition tape to Dream Theater.
James LaBrie, whenever this is all over, we could all meet up at a Dream Theater show.
But you'd be his competition, though. Why would he meet up with you?
We will do a duet.
You might take over for him in Dream Theater. That voice.
He seems like a way like mellower guy than the guy from Five Finger Death Punch. I don't think you would see Rob as competition. You'd probably see him as like a friend, not a foe.
So maybe
I don't think he would see me as any competition now.
He'll let Rob in the band, kick him out, and then do a video going, woof, I can't believe what a day I had. This guy's not in the band. He's making a new album without me.
Well, I mean, where can we go from there? Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week, 6 p.m. Eastern, start time. And don't hold me to this, but I'm pretty sure this is going to happen. We're going to have Greg Weeks of the Red Cord.
One of the greatest men. Yeah.
one of the greatest men guesting on the show. It's been such a long time since we've had him. Very excited to have him back on.
And on Zoom. So maybe this is when you watch live or subscribe to Patreon.
Will he have a Hitler mustache?
Well, only one way to find out. Let's tune in next week.
He's got 7 days to get on it if he doesn't have one.
Greg Week.
All right. Bye, everyone. Okay, that was great. I would say we would do definitely something from the Five Finger Death Punch one. Something with like James LeBrie, obviously.
Noah talking about her bird fear was so tremendous.
Yeah, we should.
I know that I brought up pigeons before.
Yeah, pigeons definitely.
I think you brought up like that you find them disgusting, but it was never like brought over into like would you eat this and why not, and that's like a whole new.
Yeah, that's been my shtick for like half my life at this point.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't think we've ever talked about that on the show.
Good.
It's great.
Alrighty.
Amy, dinner's here. That's great timing. Ooh. For the dinner show on upright as cool. We end the show.
What are you going to eat?
We ordered from a Mediterranean place some lamb kebabs.
Ooh.
Nice.
All righty.
Okay. Bon appetit.
I'll text you when it's synced.
Okay.